morning, everybody. Hey, welcome to Money and Change right here on TrimRadio.com. And it's my first time actually setting this thing up and doing it. It's amazing, all the different gadgets we've got. I'm still learning, so hang in there. And we've got a lot to discuss today. So welcome to Money and Change. And on our Facebook page, it's Money and Change / Financially Prepped, and you want to check that out. Well, guys, we have a lot to discuss today, but before we do, you know, we always have a disclaimer. The information that contained in this presented material is from the posting of news agencies on the internet and are not necessarily the views or opinions of the owners of this program. Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. You should always do your own research and consult with professionals. In other words, do your own due diligence. We are not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damage of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Well, hey, gang, we have a lot of stuff that's really going to start happening here on the Trim Radio Network. We've got a bunch of new shows coming out, and you'll be able to watch them. And it's just a lot of good things. You know, there's Life Walk with Christ God with Michael Bejas and then myself tonight. And we also have Fishing in Florida show with Ruscala Stephan or Stevens. And we've also got, of course, Money and Change, Take Point 22, the Natural Marketer podcast, My World on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock, and Adventure Awaits Around the Bend, and Ruscala's Red Pill Reality Show. And since football's over with, gee whiz, we had the Slobber Knocker Show and Offsides. And coming soon will be Nixie Weekly Music Countdown. So you want to check that out on trimradio.com and tell your friends about us. And I'll tell you what, you can partner with Trim Radio. You can host your own show. You can advertise with Trim. You can join our perks. It's very easy to do. And just remember, Trim Radio Network, we cut the bull and we serve the truth. And that's the truth. Well, hey, guys, a lot of stuff going on. I tried to post a video, or actually hook it up with the show, about Sheriff Richard K. Jones of Butler County, Ohio. And I tried to put that information up, and we're having a little difficulty doing that. I had a few things that I had scheduled to actually show, and we're still working the bugs out. But anyhow, if you go to our Facebook page, and it's our Money and Change page / Financially Prepped, you'll see Richard K. Jones doing an interview talking about terrorism in Ohio. Well, not only is it in Ohio, it's in other states too, because we are all over the world. And I've known Sheriff Jones for a long time. Matter of fact, I think I met him back in 89 or 90. That's way back. He's a very upstanding guy. He can be a nice guy to be around, but I'll tell you what, when he tells you something that's very serious, you better listen to him. He did an interview on YouTube, and he was making a statement about what he was doing to prepare not only his sheriff deputies, but also the public in Butler County. Hamilton County is to the south, and I knew the sheriff in Hamilton County quite well, Simon Lease, and also Sheriff Jones up in Butler County. And I interacted with a lot of federal people and so forth when I worked for the state of Ohio in Cincinnati. So I was trying to get that video going. We had some problems, and we'll get those worked out, but you can go to our Facebook page and check that out. And I'll tell you what, you really want to check that out. Another thing, you know, we always do shout outs in the show, And people say, well, you don't have advertisers. Like, no, I don't. I don't want advertisers per se. I want people to know who I like. Because if I like somebody and they do a good job, I'd say that's a pretty good deal. And I'm very picky. And I do mean picky. Well, big shout out to the Trim Radio Network for carrying the show, because we've been doing this for quite a while. We're new to StreamWave, and we're getting used to it. It's going to take a while, and we're working out the bugs as we go. But I'll tell you what, I really like what I see so far. I really do. Also, we've got the University of Findlay, www.findlay.edu. And I'll tell you what, it's a good school. It's a Division II NCAA sports school, but it's not just sports. It's academic, too. You can get a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, or a doctoral degree at the University of Findlay. It has great facilities, great professors, a really great administrator, Dr. Kathy Fell. She is fantastic. Also, they have three campuses in Findlay. There's the main campus, the equestrian campus, where they do some veterinary or pre-veterinary things. And then they have the HAZMAT, or Hazardous Material Campus, on or in Findlay. And I'll tell you what, Findlay itself is a nice town. It's about 38 to 40,000 people. It's located in kind of northwestern Ohio, right along I-75. And it's about an hour south of Toledo. And not too far from Bowling Green, if you know about Bowling Green. And it's a good school. It really is. I spent some time there, and I had fantastic professors. And I found out that I really received more education from a private school like the University of Findlay than I did at a state school. And I've been to both types. And I'll tell you what, I really enjoy the University of Findlay. So check them out, www.findlay.edu. Also, they have a fantastic swim team if you're into swimming sports. They've got a really good track team, and they're rated in the country. And I'll tell you what, it's a good school. So check them out. Also, a big shout out to Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks. Check them out on Facebook. And that's R-U-S-T-Y. D-U-K, apostrophe S, Custom Pens and Blanks. And Phil does an excellent job on his pens. I think I've shown them on the page, shown pictures of the different types of pens that he does. Beautiful stuff. Trust me, Michael and I both have those pens, and we love them. Okay, so check out Rusty Duck's Custom Pens. Also, you know, tell your friends about Money and Change. We are on every Sunday live, unless I have to play a concert. And right now I've got four concerts I have to play later this spring, and then during the summer and in the fall. And so I will be having encore editions of Money and Change. Now, what's an encore edition? Well, it's a replay. Fancier word. I mean, if it's good enough for Rush Limbaugh, heck, it's good enough for me, right? Okay, so I play in a band, and we do different concerts, and right now we've got four scheduled. We'll probably pick up maybe three more, and that will take me through the spring, summer, and fall. So during those times, it's going to have to be an encore edition, unless I finish the venue and I'm back in time to do the show live. And I won't know that until the actual times are established for the concerts. Well, a big shout out to My World. Hey, it's me. We meet on Wednesday nights, and we have a blast. It'll be 8 o'clock p.m. every Wednesday. And surprise, I don't have any concerts then. So we'll always be live. So check us out. Tell your friends about us too. We have a little bit of fun there. We just don't talk about finance there. Finance is always a Sunday thing. Check out the Big Family Homestead with Brad and Krista on YouTube, please. They're good people. I've known them for years. And I'll tell you what, they give out good factual information. Also, Southern Prepper One with David Kobler. He's on YouTube. Fantastic guy. I've talked to him before. I've corresponded with him before. Great guy. Also, check out Appalachia Homestead with Patara. She's got an interesting outlook. She's out around Knoxville, Tennessee. And she's an interesting person, very knowledgeable. And she tells about what's happening in the markets. Also, you can check out Prepper Nurse One, Ed Carswell, down in West Virginia. And then, of course, we've got Danny Wanda King in Wiggins, Mississippi. And usually on Sunday nights, Danny talks about some of the things happening in the world and what to look out for. So you want to check out that show specifically. Wow, so much stuff going on. Oh, before I forget, LDS Prepper. You want to check out his channel. Spring's going to be here pretty soon, and everybody's going to be going to Home Depot, Lowe's, or wherever, and getting your seeds to plant. Matter of fact, today, I was at Wally World, and just inside the door at Wally World, they had a whole rack of seeds. Now, I'm not thinking about planting things right now, but I may go back maybe tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday and see what they have, and then I'll go down to Home Depot and see what they have, and then over to Lowe's, because I want to plant a garden. Actually, you should be planting a garden this summer. Why? Food prices are going to get high. The big thing was I went to Wally World. You know what Wally World is? It's Walmart. And I'll tell you what, I went in there and I saw those seeds and I thought, okay, yeah, we're going to have to talk about seeds on the air, because start planting your garden. The price of food is going up and up and up. I mean, I spent $72 today on food, which I had some canned goods, some boxed dinners, and it's long-term storage stuff. And I've been listening to a lot of people on the air, and they've been talking about what happens if there's a trucker strike. What happens if the farmers go on strike like they did in Europe? How are we going to get our food? Are we going to have to just use up what we have in the freezer? How long is the strike going to be? Is it going to be during the growing season? You don't know. So you better be prepared. And I've always told people, you know, you have to do this. Pay down your debt. Put some money aside. Buy some long-term food, whether it's freeze-dried MREs or cans. What's the cheapest? Canned goods. And that's what I did today. I think I got 12 cans of food. Larger cans, but I got 12 cans of food. I got some canned chicken. I got some canned beef. I've got macaroni and cheese. I mean, if the world comes to an end, at least I've got enough macaroni and cheese to get me through. Maybe through the next life. Not that I don't like macaroni and cheese. I just like to have it so it's a quick food. Also, make sure you have your medications. Make sure you know how to do maybe alternative medications. If we have another flu bug around, you know, some people say get ivermectin. Well, you can. You can get it at different sources. Do your own research. And ivermectin is supposed to help. Supposed to. But do your own research on that. So get your own medications, be able to purify and store water. Now, one thing that I've been reading lately is that bottles of water have microscopic particles of plastic floating around in it. And so you're drinking from those bottles, and microscopic bits of plastic are getting in your system, supposedly. Now, I can't personally confirm it. However, I've always talked about the Berkey water filtration system, and I have one. It takes out impurities in the water, and then it takes out the fluoride because I have fluoride filters too, and then you get pure water. It just tastes great. There's no aftertaste. Matter of fact, all the water that I drink happens to be run through a Berkey purification system. And one guy said, "Well, it's too expensive." It wasn't when I bought it. I think it was only $229 or $266 for the system, which consists of a can or a container up top with two of the charcoal filters, and then underneath that there's fluoride filters fastened in the bottom, and then a holding tank. And I can get about 1.5 to 2 gallons very easily. And I could get bigger models. You can even make your own Berkey water filter for that matter, if you know how to do it. It's very easy. I've got backup that I keep. I tried it one time, I liked it. But I decided to get the stainless steel version because it lasts a little bit longer. And I'll tell you what, it does work. So be able to purify and store water. Make sure that you have the right clothing for the season. Make sure you have the right shelter for the season. Do you have a portable tent? You may need it. A lot of people I've been talking to lately, and I've been listening to, they're saying, well, one of these days, the power's going to go off. And Sheriff Jones is talking about some of the illegal entrants into the country, illegal aliens coming in, undocumented people, as some people like to call them. I call them illegal because they did not follow the process to come through, they sneaked in. No passport or anything. We don't even know if they had their shots. We don't even know what bugs they're bringing with them. All the more to have a very good first aid kit and have good supplies. And sanitation wise, make sure you can wipe things down, just like when COVID was around. Some people are calling it the fake COVID. It was bad flu is what it was, and some people did not take precautions. And some people said, "Oh, you have to wear a mask." Well, they found out afterwards you don't have to wear a mask because masks don't do anything, unless it's a certain type, and not even an N95 mask would really work. So they're talking about all this kind of stuff and plastic gloves and you name it. Just keep a clean household. Keep things wiped down. Did you know you could take hydrogen peroxide and put that on a cloth and then wipe your counters down with hydrogen peroxide, and that sanitizes the surface? It does. Just don't get it on your clothes because it's like a bleach, but it will sanitize the surfaces. And if you get stains in the carpet, yeah, you can use a hydrogen peroxide in a spray bottle, and that will help take up the stains if you get them right away. But there's a lot of things to consider, and Sheriff Jones is saying, be prepared. Know what to do in an emergency. What happens if the power goes out? Do you have flashlights? Do you have candles? How many flashlights do you have in your house? Do they have batteries that are in them right now? Are the batteries good? Do you have lanterns? All kinds of things to consider. But that's being prepared, and Sheriff Jones is talking about that. I have a friend of mine that goes around to different school systems around the country and explains how to protect themselves. And a few months ago, I was kidding Eric, and he told me, he says, "Well, I have a badge. I've earned that badge." And I didn't know that he had, he was Department of Homeland Security. And I see him a couple times a month. Fantastic guy. But he goes around, he gets paid, and he goes around the country, literally, and talks to schools about how they can protect themselves. He's a security expert and a very good one at that. Well, anyhow, that's what we're talking about in being prepared. If you're not prepared, then you're going to be hurting. Financially prepared. Are you financially prepared? Are you living paycheck to paycheck? That's the problem, living paycheck to paycheck, because it's tough to make ends meet. Are you living beneath your means? You know, I tell people about living beneath your means, and they say, well, what's that? Well, you don't buy a lot of Netflix movies. You don't have an ultra cable setup. You can get things differently and cheaper. I don't care if you use Hulu or whatever. If you check out Prepper Princess on YouTube, she has a lot of ideas where you can save money. And that's a good person to check out, Prepper Princess on YouTube. She's been around for a few years, and she's basically a self-made millionaireess. Not a millionaire, but a millionaireess. That's the female version of a millionaire. Very smart lady. And she knows how to buy things at discount and to save money. And she's good at it. So is Patara. Patara knows her stuff too. And so that's with Appalachian Homestead in Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee. I was going to say West Virginia, but my God, that's Prepper Nurse One. And he's still building his place, so I don't think he knows how to keep his menu down. Well, anyhow, guys, let's get into some of the stuff. I know I've talked and talked and talked about a lot of different things, but, you know, always be prepared. You know, if you can buy a couple extra cans of food every week, you stock up. And sometimes if you get some money and you need extra food, stock up on it, and you can get it fairly cheaply. You can go to Aldi's, you can go to Wally World. You could go to IGA or other places, and you could find really good canned foods. Just make sure you have a good can opener to open the cans. But I'll tell you what, you have to start doing it. If you haven't been prepping, you had better start. I mean, I'm hearing rumors of March 14th. I'm hearing rumors of this summer. I'm hearing rumors in the fall. Rumors are out there everywhere. And so what do you do? How do you prep? Don't panic. Take an inventory of what you have and what you need. And I mean absolutely need. No pie in the sky stuff. Also, another thing I've been talking about, and I've talked about GMRS radios. Check on YouTube. They have people that talk about GMRS radios. Not a Rubicon. Basically, that's Randy. Check with him on these types of radios. They're good. I can talk on this one to Dayton, Ohio, which is about 35 miles away. And I can talk to different people around all the way down to almost Cincinnati on that repeater. It's a 900-foot tower, and I'm lucky I can get into it. Other than that, I have another one about 10 miles away, and I can talk to a lot of people there. Good for family, friends, and emergencies, okay? If you want to go a little bit farther, you can get a ham license, a technician's license, and you can get that, and you can talk all the way around the world with one of those. So the GMRS license is $35 for 10 years. And anybody in the family can use it. It's a family type radio. With the ham radio, only the ham operators could use theirs. And I missed out on a ham class this weekend. I had a slight case of food poisoning. And that took me out of it for about 3 days, and I could not make the class yesterday. There's too much to study for, and trust me, when you're sick, you can't study. You can't think. You don't have time. So anyhow, you know, the farmers in Europe have been going on strike, and they've been on strike for different things. For example, diesel. The governments in Europe wanted to reduce the amount of diesel. They wanted to cut down on the size of farms, basically destroying European farmers. In the U.S., the farmers are starting to get upset about different things. And I don't blame them. I mean, farmers make their money doing what? Selling food, don't they? Okay, where do they sell it? They sell it from there to the wholesaler. The wholesaler then makes the canned goods or whatever, and then it goes to the grocery stores, and then you buy it. Unless you know some of the German Baptists or the Amish, and they can do their own. Very simple way of life, and they eat a lot of good fresh food. And that's what I think we need to start doing. We can rely on canned foods for right now, but fresh food is the best. Wow, what countries have the most farmers protesting? Well, according to CNN, they're no longer making a living from our profession, said one farmer in Paris, in France. He said, well, some of the most dramatic protests have been in France. Similar actions have been taking place in a host of countries, including Italy, Spain, Romania, Poland, Greece, Germany, Portugal, and the Netherlands. And if you've seen the news, you've seen long lines of tractors on the road, or they went into Brussels, Belgium, and surrounded the big square, and had little bonfires, you know, to keep warm because it was cold out. And they just parked the tractors and in protest. And some countries said, we better change our ways because the farmers are getting ticked. If they get ticked, we don't eat. And maybe we're going about this wrong. Well, I think the French farmers gave in. I think the German farmers gave in. And some of the other countries are starting to cave to the whole situation. Now, what does that have to do with us here in the United States? Well, if some political entity, and I won't mention Washington, D.C., but I get it. They mess around with the diesel prices or cut diesel production or limit farm size or what farmers can do, then the price of food is going to go up because it's going to be scarce. The farmers can't plant, they can't make money, and as a result, things get scarce. Why did they get scarce? Well, gasoline, diesel is too high. We can't afford fertilizer. Now, in France, they had a way to take care of fertilizer. You know, they had these big liquid tanks full of fertilizer. And how they got the government to change their ways was to take one of these into a town and aim the nozzle on the government building. And then they hit a switch and sprayed the whole side of the building with animal droppings, manure, hooey. Some people just say plain poop. Well, yeah, they did. Some people ended up dumping some in front of the politicians' homes. They were so angry. Well, that happened here in the United States. And I saw a video of it today. Farmers were a little bit upset. And I believe Nancy Pelosi's house had a high pile of plop in front of it. Maybe they're trying to tell them something. But, you know, farmers are protesting, and we've got all other kinds of stuff going on. And you take a look at, is the government actually hurting the farmers? And the POTUS administration in Washington, D.C., continues to burden farmers with more regulations that create more costs and uncertainty. And these costs are passed on to the American people. That's you and me. I've got friends that are farmers, and I will see some tomorrow for lunch. And I'm going to be asking them, what's the current price of fertilizer? Can you get fertilizer? What's that going to do to the cost of food? Is that going to go way up? How can you conserve on fertilizer? You know, what do the markets look like? And these farmers will tell you, I mean, they have their cell phones go off and it tells them exactly what the markets are for corn or soybeans or whatever. And we might be sitting there having lunch and all of a sudden their phones start going off. And next thing you know, they're on the phone and they're telling whoever, okay, I'll go ahead and sell you so many tons of grain. They're doing business right at the lunch table. Matter of fact, I go to a place, little town called Casstown, C-A-S-S, town, T-O-W-N. And we go to Holly's. And Holly's Cafe is a great little place to eat. And you get to meet a lot of nice people. And some of the people are very large farming businesses in the county where I live. And I don't know how many thousand acres they have. I think one of them is about 4,000 to 5,000 acres. And one of them is multiple in different counties. So they're big time farmers. So I will be able to find out some trends tomorrow when I meet them for lunch. I can't farm. I don't have enough acreage. I've only got a quarter of an acre, and it's difficult. I do have a little garden that I start, and I grow my own tomatoes and cucumbers and things like that. I may have to expand that this summer. But hey, are farmers really going to be in crisis? You know, according to house.gov, they're saying production costs for seed, fertilizer, equipment, and other farming essentials are the highest we've seen in decades, subjecting farmers to higher costs of capital required to operate their business. And I asked one of my farmer friends, I said, hey, what's it cost for a tractor anymore? And they said, well, you know, it could be $300,000 depending on the model you get. Gee, that's the cost of a house. What else? Oh, a combine could be $500,000 or more. Wow. Then all the other equipment. Farming is actually big business. It really is. So, you know, Europe's having their problems. We could be having ours. One of the articles that I found on Zero Hedge, I can't really say everything that it says, but I'll just say this. Mess around and find out. Truckers warn loads to New York City will be rejected starting Monday. That's tomorrow. Loads will be rejected Monday. And on X, something came up, and they were talking about that. And the truckers are just having, they're fed up with New York City. And one guy said, I'm a trucker, and I stand with the boycott. Time to show the corrupt we run the country, not them. And that was a user that was on X. And another one, besides New York City, truckers on X call for drivers to boycott liberal cities. What this country needs is a good old-fashioned trucker boycott of liberal-run cities. Liberals laugh at the thought of a truck boycott in New York City. But a few years ago, a trucker boycott brought the state of Colorado to its knees. It literally did. So what happens if the trucks stop? Well, in 24 hours, delivery of medical supplies to affected areas will cease. Hospitals will run out of basic supplies such as syringes. Service stations will begin to run out of fuel. Good thing, buy an extra 5 gallons of gas. As a matter of fact, I'm doing that tomorrow. I've got a couple that I have on hand. I'll be getting another one and making sure that I rotate things so I keep fresh gas. Also making sure my car is filled. Remember that. Keep your car filled with gas. Manufacturers using just in time, that's JIT, just in time manufacturing, will develop components shortages. The U.S. mail and other package delivery will cease. Within one day, food shortages will begin to develop. How many times have you seen trucks? And this information is coming from cdllife.com. But how many times do you see trucks go into Walmart? The one locally here, I think it's 5 or 6 trucks a day, bringing in all kinds of stuff. And then you go to Kroger's and they will have different trucks coming in to service them. You have trucks coming to IGA stores. You have all kinds of deliveries, different places. And this is just going to be to New York City. You can imagine what could happen there. Automobile fuel availability will dwindle, and leading skyrocketing prices. Remember the long lines? I think it was back in the 90s or late 80s, or maybe it was mid 80s. There was a surcharge on fuel. I think it was when Jimmy Carter was in. And everything costs. It was obnoxious. It should have never happened, but it did. Well, what happens in 2 to 3 days? Well, food shortages will escalate, especially in the face of hoarding and consumer panic. Supplies of essentials such as bottled water, powdered milk, and canned meat at major retailers will disappear, which is another thing. I always buy canned meat when I go to Kroger's or Walmart or even Aldi's. It lasts quite a while. Matter of fact, this is, the canned meat that I got today is probably good until 28. That's 2028. ATMs are going to run out of cash and banks will be unable to process transactions. Why? Because the armored cars can't get the fuel to get to the banks. Think about it. So the ATMs run out of cash. Now, tomorrow's a federal banking holiday, President's Day. So think about that when you go to the bank and there isn't any money and you have bills to pay. Service stations will completely run out of fuel for autos and trucks. Matter of fact, when you take a look at what happens when the fuel stops, the diesel especially, who gets priority? Trains. Trains are automatic priority for diesel fuel. Then trucks. And then it goes from there on down. So remember, keep stocked up with fuel. Also, propane. Do you have a propane grill? You might want to keep up with propane. Do you have a propane heater? What happens if the power goes out? How do you keep warm? And I know we're going into March, and March isn't all that bad. But still, how do you keep warm? And you need to do that. Garbage starts piling up in the streets because guess what? There happens to be no diesel for the trucks to run to pick up the garbage. Container ships are going to sit in the ports. They can't unload. And the rail transport will be disrupted. It'll go to a standstill. Automobile travel will cease due to the lack of fuel. Hospitals will begin to exhaust oxygen supplies. The nation's water will begin to run dry. And the nation will exhaust its clean water supply. Illnesses will increase. I found that on Zero Hedge. CDL.com. Mess around. Truckers warn loads to New York City will be rejected starting Monday. So if you live in New York City and you're not stocked up, I'd almost think to locate. Somebody said cities will become towns and towns will become cities. In other words, people are going to move out of New York City. And it used to be a really nice place from what I've been told. And now it's a hole, if you know what I mean. Hey, there was an article about Middle America is dying and DC doesn't care. And that was Celano Zito, Z-I-T-O, from the Washington Examiner. And they were talking about Weirton, West Virginia. And most people in this town will tell you that they'd rather have taken a physical punch to the gut than get the news that they received yesterday when Cleveland Cliffs Steel announced it was idling its tin plate production plant, a move that directly cost 900 people their jobs. 900. And that was a tin plant. Now, Cleveland Cliffs is also up in Cleveland, Ohio. It's a huge steel mill up there. I've driven by it several times. It's gigantic. Down in Middletown, it used to be AK Steel, which is now Cleveland Cliffs. And that is a huge steel production facility. It's going to get tough. It really is, guys. And if you're not prepared, you're going to get burned badly. And you're going to say, Stu, what can we do? I've been telling you. I've been telling you for 10 years. Get prepped, period. Here's 10 reasons why the world can't run without fossil fuels. You know, banks, governments, and businesses would face failure due to the essential role of fossil fuels in the economy. And critical infrastructure like electricity, internet, and trade systems would collapse without fossil fuel support. And agriculture and home heating would become inefficient and inaccessible to many, leading to widespread social upheaval, according to the report. Now, this was written by Gail DeBerg. T-V-E-R-B-E-R-G, and it was The Finite World, and it was in Zero Hedge, and she said, the economy is extraordinarily dependent on fossil fuels, and if there are not enough fossil fuels to go around, there is likely to be fighting over what's available, and some countries are likely to get more than their fair share, while the rest of the world population will be left with very little or no fossil fuels. And they're saying banks as we know them will fail. Before banks fail in areas with virtually no fossil fuels, the author's guess is that we will generally see hyperinflation, which means the cost of goods is going to sky high. It's going to go sky high. Today's governments will fail. Why? Because people get ticked off because they can't get money or the cost of things are too high and they're going to go start calling and complaining to the government. And the farmers are going to complain. The truckers are going to complain. Next thing you know, the railroads are going to complain. Airlines are going to complain. Everybody complains. And I would hate to be in Washington, D.C. Nearly all of today's businesses will fail. What happens if a business doesn't have electricity? What happens if their trucks that they depend for delivery of goods can't get fuel? Grid electricity. If you don't have electricity, your internet's going to go down. And it said, you could hit the United States in nine different places and cause the whole electrical grid to go down. Do you have solar panels? Do you have ways of lighting your house? Do you have ways to heat your house? Do you have a wood stove? I don't have a wood stove, but I'm thinking about it. Seriously, I don't know how I would set it up in the house, but there has to be a way to get it done. But the grid electricity is necessary. International trade will be scaled back greatly. It'll just be local trade. Agriculture will become much less efficient. You need diesel. We can't go back to running horses and plows. The Amish can do it, but that's only on the local business part. It's a mess. Home heating will become a luxury item. And what happens when you say, well, I'll just go out and cut down some trees? Okay, how many trees are there? Do we have enough to heat everybody? Think about it. Living alone will be a thing of the past. Everybody will have to move in together. And governments and their laws will shrink in importance. Instead, new traditions and new religions will play a greater role in keeping order. That's something to think about. Have you taken a look at the housing market lately? I've been looking around and I'm seeing some problem defaults. What happens if you buy a house, you can't make the payments, and you get behind in your payments? Oh, I'll take out a second loan. Okay, you can go ahead and do that, pay higher interest. But instead of paying it off in 15 years, now you have an additional 30 years to pay it off at a higher interest rate. Oh, I can't afford to do anything. And like people out on the West Coast, they just walk away. Well, let the bank have it. Well, then the bank has it and they try to sell it. They can't sell it. They take a loss. Gee whiz. It's not good. And so what happens? Then people go back and they start renting places. Well, what happens if you can't pay your rent? The landlord says, bye. You got to move out. When I was living in Columbus, I actually noticed a sheriff's deputy and a moving company come in. They went into an apartment across the street. I lived in a nice neighborhood. And all of a sudden, all of the clothes, all of the furniture, and everything in that apartment were moved to the curb. And the lady was going nuts. She was in tears. She was screaming at the cop, and the cop said, there's nothing I can do. This is an eviction notice. And she said, what about my stuff? You have to take care of it. I can't. Well, people will take my stuff. He said, lady, that's not my problem. You didn't pay your rent. Matter of fact, you didn't pay your rent for 4 months. So here's the eviction notice. And everything that you have is out here. If I were you, I would have somebody stand by and watch your stuff. And then you call friends and neighbors and have them go ahead and pick up your stuff and put it into storage. But all the stuff has to be out of the house. I mean, we're talking furniture, TVs, stereos, everything. I mean, everything. They left the refrigerator and they left the stove because that came with the apartment. Oh yeah, evictions do happen. Yeah, I witnessed it. There's nothing I could do. Matter of fact, a lot of people that lived in my complex couldn't help out. You ever get evicted? It's not a nice thing. It really isn't. Well, Charles Hugh Smith of Two Minds blog said the U.S. housing market, rent serfs, and artificial scarcity. He's talking about that, and you can check that out. Just briefly, he said, ideologies sound wonderful in the abstract, but run aground in the granular real world. And the dominant ideology in the world today isn't a political ideology, it's the ideology of the market. The market is presented as the ideal problem-solving mechanism. So how do we consider how the market functions? Well, you have a bubble economy, and the housing bubble is getting ready to burst if it already hasn't burst. You take a look at houses out in Vancouver, Washington, that's in the U.S. And the houses out there, even in California, million-dollar places. Matter of fact, I think my two-bedroom ranch house on a quarter of an acre would probably be worth $1 million out in California or more. Up in Vancouver, it could be even more than that. But people get behind on their payments. They can't afford things. They can't work out refinancing. And what happens? They just give up and leave. And that sticks the banks with the properties, and they have to get rid of them. And they may have to cut the rates on the properties and take a loss. Banks take a loss, you could close the banks. You could cause a lot of bad financial problems. For example, banks, you know, I've said out of $10, it's two hands, 10 bucks. The banks only keep $1. The rest of it is loaned out. So if the bank goes under and you go to get your money, can you get your money? No. But it's insured to $250,000, up to $250,000 with FDIC. But what happens if the FDIC says, didn't you read the clause? The tiny clause at the very end that says we have 9 years to pay you? Think about it. Make sure that you keep enough money in a safe place so you can pay your bills. And right now, people are saying in the next 3 months, make sure you have enough money that you can get your hands on to pay your bills. You're going to have to pay your taxes. You're going to have to pay for food, heat, utilities, and so forth. Do you have that money available? The government's not going to help you. They are not going to help you. You are going to be on your own. So you have to plan for stuff like that. And with bubble economies, they build it up and the bubble grows and grows and grows and all of a sudden, pop. And everything goes down. It's not a pretty sight, guys. It really isn't. And things can get really nasty. Hate to tell you, break the news to you, but that's what can happen. There's a warning sign that capital controls are coming soon and four ways to beat them. And this was according to Nick Gianbruno of the International Man. And he said, weekends and holidays are the perfect time to catch people off guard. So what happens if they're going to crash the banks, close the banks, cause financial problems? They're going to do it on the weekend. More than likely, they're going to wait until the end of the week on a Friday, and then they're going to pull the plug. And you're going to get stuck. You don't have any food. You don't have money to buy food because you can't get to the ATM because the ATMs are locked. It's quite a mess. And you're not prepared. I'm not going to say I told you so. But if you are not prepared, then you're hurting. And I think LDS Prepper said, if you are prepared, you will not suffer, I think. I'll have to talk to David about that. David Gilmore, very intelligent guy. He's out in Idaho. He's talked me into the GMRS radios and other things. He also does the MIT Lighter gardening system. And he's very knowledgeable. Smart man, smart man. I've talked to him on the phone before, and maybe I might be able to get him on the show. You never know. Well, when we take a look at all of this, Giambruno is saying, like a street thug committing a mugging, Capitol controls blindside most people, and otherwise they'd be effective. The government declares a surplus or a surprise bank, not a surplus, oh geez, a surprise bank holiday and shuts all the banks, mere hours after they denied they were even going to think about doing it. And they impose capital controls to stop citizens from taking their money out of the country. Cash sniffing dogs, which make drug sniffing dogs look like friendly dogs, show up at airports and border crossings. At this point, your money is like a lobster in a trap. It doesn't require much imagination to see what's coming next. And once a desperate government has your money within reach, it'll find a way to take as much of it as possible. So what about the digital dollar? That's something to look at. Oh, we're going to go to the digital dollar. Oh, what about the paper dollar? Oh, it's not going to be worth anything. We'll just give you all digital credits. Oh, and by the way, if you don't vote the way we want you to vote or do what we want you to do, we take away the digital dollars. It's all about control. I've been saying that for years. Don't be surprised if it happens. And like I said, people are saying March 14th. I don't know. I can't say. It could be this summer. Who knows? It could be this fall. Who knows? Just be prepared. And if you're not prepared, social agencies can only help you so much. The government's not going to help you, and you're going to be in trouble. You can always buy a couple extra cans of food here and there. You can grow food to get through a rough season. So be prepared. But capital controls can happen anywhere at any time. Remember back in 1933, there was an executive order, 6102. And President Roosevelt forced the Americans to exchange their gold for US dollars under the penalty of 10 years in prison and a $10,000 fine, or more than $235,000 in today's database confetti. And of course, the official gold exchange rate was unfavorable. It amounted to around 41% confiscation of purchasing power. Yeah, it can happen. Maybe I might be able to get some more information on that for the next show. But it's scary. If you're not prepared, you're going to be in trouble. And I don't want to see you guys not have any food, not have any water, not be able to go to places, do things. But remember, controls can happen at any time. Your credit cards won't work because you don't have any cash. You can't get gasoline. You can't get food. It can get nasty. Well, anyhow, guys, that's all I have this weekend. Check out the rest of the shows on trimradio.com. Really, check them out. We're doing this show live. This week, we'll be doing it next week, and a few weeks later, it'll all be live. And that's the best way to do it. And we will have a number that you can call into, and it's 803 200 2277. 803 200 2277. And you can click on the link in the comments. But with that, guys, that's all I have this week. Have a good week. Prep like crazy. I mean, prep like you've never done before, because it's an important thing. It really is. With that, that's all I have for this week. You have a good week. Prep like crazy. And I'll talk to you, well, Wednesday on My World, and then again on Sunday with Money and Change. We'll talk to you.